have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome to another episode of Drive-In Movies with Hogan and Rudy. This week, we have a special guest star with us all the way from Film Schooled Podcast, Courtney Hull. Say hello to everyone, Courtney.
Hi. Thrilled to be here to talk about my favorite movie.
Yeah, these are probably right up your alley. I know definitely your favorite writer.
For sure.
Did both of these films. So we're excited to have you and excited to get your thoughts and feelings on both of these movies. And of course, Rudy is here as well.
Here I am.
He's hanging out. He's ready to go. So Rudy, tell us about the two movies that we have this week and give everyone a little bit of breakdown on what they're about.
Yeah. So we have Steve Jobs. So that's basically the story of Steve Jobs. Surprising.
Excellent.
Nailed it. Kind of the start of the Macintosh release. And then it was it 1985 it starts the year within the movie. It's like 1984. And then it progresses until the late 90s when he's back at Apple. So it's kind of what his life is like through that stage, his relationship with his daughter, his relationship with everyone around him. It's a fantastic movie.
When's that movie from?
2015.
Yeah, I was going to guess 15 or 16.
2015. Wow, you guys got it right on the nose. Us. Directed by Danny Boyle, if I'm correct.
It sure is, because on my podcast, not to plug it, we just watched Slumdog Millionaire, so we talked about Steve Jobs a little bit.
Great movie.
It's the same director. Great movie.
I love Danny Boyle. I love his work, and I think he's a very underrated director.
Yeah, I agree. He's not like a household name, not like our other boy in this category.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Fincher.
Who directed good old Social Network, which is our other film.
Oof. He sure did.
Which is from what year?
2010?
2009. Oh. 2010 is what IMDb says.
Well, it came out in 2009 is when it was released, and then I bet it came out on DVD in 2010.
Oh, is that what IMDb goes through?
Yeah, because I think often IMDb's wrong on a lot of stuff.
Sorry, IMDb, but we're calling you liars. So. Boy, oh boy, does The Social Network take you through a wild ride of the creation and evolution of Facebook.
It's so good.
But it's not really about, it's about Facebook, but it's not really about Facebook. It's about the people behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And boy, are there a lot of hands in the pot in the creation of Facebook.
I've never heard that expression.
The hands in
hands in the pot. Hands in the cookie jar.
Cooks in the kitchen. I don't think you're supposed to put your hands in the pot.
Why not? Like a pot. Because
it's probably
like when you play poker. The pot is like where you put all.
Oh,
the...
I thought you meant like cooking.
Like
I
a cooking
like, you'll
pot.
Burn
I mean, you could if you wanted to.
One, it's unsanitary, and two, you'll burn yourself.
I think that's an expression, too many hands in the pot.
Hands in the pot?
Have you heard that before, Rudy? Maybe it's just me.
Maybe it's just you.
I don't even play poker, but...
I was going to say, I don't play poker a lot.
I know
so
that
I don't know.
Reference. But yeah, two very exciting movies, both kind of giving you a background on the life of two very interesting people, is how I'll put it. They're not very likable. At least these movies definitely... don't make them out to be, but we'll get into it, and we'll go into the categories so that you guys can listen along and hopefully watch along with our calendar.
Yeah.
So that you know exactly what we're talking about. And if not, you can hear it and then go watch these movies afterwards if they appeal to you. So going into the first category, which is probably Coco's favorite category.
Hell yeah.
Writing. So as the guest,
mm-hmm.
I'll give it over to you. What do you think about the writing in these two movies?
Well, so they're both written by Aaron Sorkin,
mm-hmm.
who I love. I think he's a crazy person in general, but I love his writing. And I think he's like an auteur, like a film auteur, where like he's one of the only writing auteurs I think we see now. But I mean, I have to give it to The Social Network, like far and above better than Steve Jobs, especially in this category. Like it's the dialogue, I wrote notes, actually.
You are way more prepared than we are.
The dialogue and the pacing of the film, I think, is so much better in The Social Network. It's so fast, and it's so like interesting with the court case, compared to just like, you know, Steve Jobs. It's just like these big three events that we're seeing, and they kind of are like, you know, replicate each other. And to me, that gets a little boring.
Hmm.
And I do, in both of these cases, I love Aaron Sorkin's ability to take really boring tech stuff and make it into intense dramas. But I also think with the writing, like, The Social Network, I think the characters are so much more sympathetic. And I know there's a character category, but, like, the writing of them, where right off the bat, Steve Jobs is just a massive dick. And Mark has this sort of, like, this arc, you know, that I don't think we see. It isn't as well done in Steve Jobs, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I agree. I think Social Network definitely is more well-rounded of a movie. Now, I do really appreciate the writing in Steve Jobs in the sense that it doesn't follow the typical rules or the typical flow of a biographical type of picture,
mm-hmm.
because they are setting it in three different times, all centered around like a certain launch that he's going to be presenting. And it's pretty much his background with all the characters around him right before this launch. So in that sense, I think the writing is brilliant because you don't see a movie like that. They don't really take that approach. So I do appreciate that aspect of it because, yes, you're still getting kind of a repetitive sense with him talking to all of the same people before each of these launches, like kind of in the same order, which is kind of funny to look at. It's
crazy. But
it is. It is. And he even makes a comment in there that I laugh at where he's like, I think it's either during the second launch or the third launch where he's like, what, does everyone just go to a bar, get drunk, yeah. and then come and yell at me before I'm supposed to go on stage? I always laugh when he makes that line because you do see a lot of the same people. And a lot of these interactions are arguments and confrontations than just, oh, hey, good luck, Steve Jobs. Like, everyone's kind of getting at him, and rightfully so, because, I mean, he's not a very likable or agreeable person.
It's like, we haven't spoken in 15 years, but right before this huge moment in your life, I'm going to tell you all the things I hate about you.
yeah. It's nuts. He's like, oh, I guess I'm used to it at this point.
Cause... Yeah, he doesn't care.
But I like that aspect of Steve Jobs, so I don't think it gets blown out of the water in this category, because I really do. I still like the dialogue between his characters, but Social Network just feels a little bit more smooth. It feels more natural, and like you said, you kind of get a little bit more attached with those characters because you're seeing them kind of evolve rather than just seeing a conversation between Steve Jobs and person X. How about you, Rudy? What's your thoughts on these two?
Yeah. So, like Courtney said, it's amazing that they made two, like, boring tech moves, like, tech concepts into a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of these are fantastic. Steve Jobs, it's amazing that they were, like, the whole movie I thought was, like, just backstage before his presentations.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a two-hour movie? Hour and 40 minutes is backstage? But it's so interesting. You can't take your eyes off of it.
I think there's a credit to the dialogue. Like, the dialogue is written so well that you don't need a whole lot of, like, action or...
Well, and that's a huge Sorkin thing. Like, he's known for super fast dialogue where everyone's a cool genius. Like, that's kind of how you could describe every character, like, whether you're watching The West Wing or any of his movies, which mm-hmm. I really, you know, love. But I think the first thing I wrote was, like, the beginning, they're like essentially showing a PowerPoint, and it's the intensity of like a war movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Especially with the music.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll get to that.
It's crazy.
But
it's
in the background, it just builds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with The Social Network. They have that same kind of concept where you're like in a dorm room or you're in here, but there's this dramatic music and he's like thinking of all these ideas in his head. And it does feel like a war movie. And mm-hmm. you're like, wow, I'm just watching this man type on his computer and make a website at 4 a.m, but I can't stop watching it.
And like Coco said before, the use of the different lawsuits going on at the same time.
So good.
Where it's kind of jumping back and forth between.
Oh, yeah.
You know, them creating Facebook and then present day where Mark Zuckerberg's essentially going through two lawsuits, I think.
Yeah, two lawsuits.
Yeah.
But how they all get interwoven, because it's two lawsuits, but there's like three different settings for the lawsuits. Because there's one with the Winklevoss, then there's one with
Eduardo,
but then there's one with Eduardo and the Winklevoss.
Well, it's twins. Eduardo comes and is testifying at the Winklevosses.
At the Winklevosses.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a witness.
Gotcha. Because I was like, oh, wait, now they're in a third one, but all of them are there.
Well, it's the Winklevosses and their friend.
Yeah. Divian Narenda? I had subtitles on, and every time they said his name, I tried to catch it, but again, that dialogue is so fast that
so
the
fast.
Subtitles are like flashing on the screen. You're like,
But I also just feel like the Social Network has so many great like quotes and like so many funny lines of dialogue. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I always think about there's of course like the if you would have invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook. And the like. $1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion.
That is Sean my Parker. Favorite line. And I probably quote it so many times at just random moments. But it doesn't have to be like a million or anything. Like any number that anyone throws out there.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I have $10. $10 isn't cool.
You know what's cool?
$10 billion.
Well, have you guys heard of like Sorkinisms?
Mm-mm.
So there's like certain lines of dialogue that Aaron Sorkin puts into like just a bunch of his like projects. And there's actually a really great video on YouTube that this guy made where he like did like a supercut of all of the times people in Sorkin movies have said these things. And so I was like trying to like pick some out. I only picked out a few. One is don't talk to me like I'm other people, which is said in Steve Jobs. I think they also say it on The West Wing. Steve Jobs, or what's it? Wozniak says it to Steve Jobs. Don't talk to me like I'm other people. Then the other one, which is my favorite Sorkinism. It's also my bio on Letterboxd because it makes me laugh so hard. But it's, I could buy your whatever and turn it into my ping pong room is a Sorkinism.
Oh, yeah.
The
Phoenix Club.
I could buy the street it's on and turn it into my ping pong room. My letterbox is I could buy your letterbox and turn it into my ping pong room.
Wow.
Because The Social Network is my favorite movie.
And it's like I'll save it to the end.
Okay.
I'll save it for the
final
wrap up.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't show my cards.
Well,
so early.
I've done that in other ones. We have a Christmas episode where I've voiced my opinion very early on in that episode.
Right off the bat.
I don't think people like that episode very much. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But in terms
You're saying I can do it, just people won't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I've already made people mad, so I've already...
I do that all the time.
I've already set that bar.
The Santa Claus audience.
Yeah, the Santa Claus audience. They're not here anymore. Sorry. But in terms of writing for this movie, I think we're all in agreement. Social Network gets the
point. Social Network.
Social Network taking the early lead. Moving right into characters and acting. How do we feel about these two movies in those categories? Rudy, let's have you start it off.
How I feel about characters?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Jesse Eisenberg is brilliant. I feel like he does play the same character in every role that he does. But it's also a little different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. I was like, wait, you can edit that. Take it out.
I was trying to think of any other role he's played.
I think Social Network was kind of... That might have been the first Jesse Eisenberg movie I've seen.
I can only think of Zombieland.
Did that come out before? Did that come out before Social Network? Maybe it did.
No, I think it came out after, but...
I don't know. But
I'm not quite sure.
Every time I see Jesse Eisenberg in a movie, I just picture it's not Jesse Eisenberg, it's actually Mark Zuckerberg.
Hey, you're like, hey, that's Mark Zuckerberg.
So good. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg's in this movie.
I don't know what Mark Zuckerberg is in real life. I don't know if I've ever heard him speak, but I'm sure he plays him very well. I probably should watch some videos of Mark Zuckerberg testify in front of the FBI. But just the way he interacts with everybody, all the characters, the way his attitude is. I don't know if that is how Mark was, but I love watching him. I could watch another 2 hours of Jesse Eisenberg play Mark Zuckerberg.
Every time he delivers his dialogue, it's always like nonchalantly just like throwing stuff out there.
There's something pretty like natural about it.
Yeah.
That I think's impressive. Again, for like the Sorkin dialogue that's really fast and really like quippy and everyone's a cool genius. Jesse Eisenberg handles it, I think, better than Fassbender does.
I think the part in Social Network that I really like from Jesse Eisenberg is when he's in one of his lawsuit hearings and he's just had enough.
Oh, this might be one of my favorite parts too.
And it's when the Winklevoss lawyer is he's like, "Do I have your attention?" And he goes into it. And he's like, "No. My intention is back at Facebook.
You have the minimum amount."
Yeah. He's like, "My best friend is suing me, all this kind of stuff. You have my minimum amount."
No, see, my favorite part is when he's in the he's being sued by Eduardo, and they say they gave you $18,000. They give you $1,000 to start up, and then $18,000 for the summer. That's $19,000. And he goes, "Hold up, let me check your math."
Yeah.
And he writes it down on his little legal pad. And he goes, "Yep, $19,000. Please continue."
I think the way that they portray Mark Zuckerberg as a dick.
Yes.
Is more likable and more understandable than Steve Jobs as a dick.
I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with, like, Steve Jobs is an adult. He is a grown man in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And Mark Zuckerberg is, like, a kid. He's a sophomore in college, so he's 19. Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs, a lot of the time, is just neglecting his child and being, an asshole to a five-year-old. Yeah. And so, like, the comparison of that is, it's a tough look for Steve Jobs. But also, I think Mark Zuckerberg, you see him, at least the character, like, they give him such great motivation for why he's doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, they set it up from the beginning. It's about finals clubs. It's about wanting to belong. He came from a poor family, blah, 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 blah. Steve Jobs, they just like shoot him in there. And he's like, why in Time Magazine did they talk about me not being the father of that kid that I'm definitely the father of?
Yeah, it certainly right off the bat, he's not very likable. And it's hard to like him throughout the movie, even when he does nice things. Mm-hmm. It's like, I still think you're a jerk this whole time.
I do love Kate Winslet, though. I think she's very likable. I don't understand necessarily why she stays with him. I don't know if they make that like clear enough for me, but I like her character. And I like at the end when she like freaks out at him.
And starts throwing stuff on the ground.
So I'm going to say something that might be controversial to the two of you.
Oh boy.
While I think Mark Zuckerberg and Jesse Eisenberg's performance, I liked that character more and connected more with his character. I think all of the supporting characters in Steve Jobs are definitely acted better, and I liked seeing their interactions more than some of the other interactions in Social Network. Not all of them, but in terms of character and acting. And I thought long and hard about this because this was probably the hardest category between the two for me, because I think this is the only one where Steve Jobs really has a lot of momentum going for it. Because let me tell you, Kate Winslet, she knocks it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen, surprisingly, is incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
I liked Jeff Daniels. I think at times he went a little over the top.
He tends to, yeah.
But I still enjoyed his performance and his interactions with Steve Jobs. I think those, besides Seth Rogen as Steve Wozniak, I think those interactions were a little bit more, oof, like, gotcha, kind of nervous for what was going on because they were a lot more heated. And then you also have, I don't know the actor's name, but the guy who plays Andy Hertzfeld, I think he was incredible as well.
Yeah, he was good. I kept trying to figure out who that was the whole time because he kind of looks like that one guy from Big Bang Theory, and he kind of looks like Joaquin Phoenix, but he's not either of them, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And he's been in other movies. Like, I've seen him before. I just don't know. His name slips my mind.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't look it up. I didn't care enough to actually look up the
actor. Yeah, me either. Yeah. But even Steve Jobs' daughter, I think, in all three phases, her as a little girl, her as a...
Like the eight-year-old?
Eight-year-old, and then her as, like a 17, 18-year-old?
Yeah, right around there.
I thought they all did a great job, and I don't know, I think I may be the only one here, but I think I might give my point in characters and acting specifically to Steve Jobs, mainly because of the acting and how I enjoyed seeing these different characters go at Steve Jobs. Like, I kind of liked how each one gave him a jab because I didn't like Steve Jobs. So every time someone came up and was like, hey, this is my problem with you, and I'm actually going to hold my own in this argument, I don't know. I thought the acting was so good that I enjoyed those moments. And I think that's probably the only part of the movie where it really at least holds the standard of Social Network, and in my opinion, just slightly surpasses it.
Yeah, I think I don't like necessarily disagree with you or think the acting of Steve Jobs is bad. I don't think Fassbender does a good job. I think it from the beginning, like right when he was talking, when they were like, can you get the turn the lights off, blah blah blah, I was like, oh, he's not handling the Sorkin dialogue well. And he definitely gets better at it, but it's still it definitely feels like he's reading off of cue cards or something to me a lot of the time, because it's like it is that thing where they're speaking so fast that, you know, they're not really in real life, they wouldn't be absorbing what the other person's saying. But I think it's so much more natural in the Social Network, and they all handle it better. I love Rooney Mara's performance as Erica. I really love Andrew Garfield. I think he's great as well. And I think they have to play in the Social Network bigger turns because they're starting off as friends and then becoming, you know, enemies. It's much bigger arc for them. Whereas, like you were saying with Steve Jobs, it's just, you know, aggression the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always kind of fighting with each other. I like the lawyers. I can't remember. Is Lewis Black one of the lawyers?
No.
What am I? Well, someone who looks like him.
Yeah. Lewis Black
is adjacent. Mark's lawyer. And I think, you know, probably the weakest member of the cast would be Timberlake, but I think he holds his own, and he's like not an actor, so impressive.
I hate his character.
You're supposed to.
I hate him way more than I hate Zuckerberg, and I might even hate him more than I hate Steve Jobs.
No, Steve Jobs I found just aggressively unlikable.
At least Steve Jobs had like some nice things that he did.
He had redemption. He has a nice redemption arc. Oh, love Brenda Song.
Yes.
He's great.
Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior.
Dakota Johnson is in this movie.
For 5 seconds.
Yeah. She has a lot of dialogue. I was like, wow, that's probably a huge deal for her at the time. Aaron Sorkin plays him, or is in the movie for a minute. Yeah.
I pointed him out. I watched it with Ellie. I was like, oh, there he is.
I was like, oh, look, Sorkin.
I feel like he delivered his line terribly, though.
He did. He can't do his own dialogue. He's like crazy. I'm obsessed with him. He's like a crazy person. Yeah. But, I just think the performances, especially Mark and Eduardo, are so good. And I love at the end when Eduardo freaks out and he says, you know, like, sorry, my Prada was at the cleaners, you pretentious douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
Along with my hoodie and my fuck you flip flops. Another one of my favorite lines.
Oh, yeah.
I think I agree with Coco. I like the progression of the characters. Andrew Garfield, I do enjoy a lot. Just his interactions with Jesse Eisenberg. They start out as friends. You can tell that Jesse Eisenberg still almost was tricked into tricked but not tricked into like signing him out.
Heavily influenced by Justin Timberlake.
Yes, of writing him out of Facebook. I did look it up. What's the real guy's name? I can't think of his name.
Eduardo Saverin.
Yes, he ended up getting 5% of the company or something after the lawsuit, after the settlement.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel bad for any of them because they're all rich now. They're all billionaires right. or millionaires.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, I don't think we should. I think I like to think of this as just pure fiction so that I don't have to deal yeah. with what terrible people these are now. Because I think if you just like the movie on its own, because it probably is pretty fictional in general. Yeah, this movie's fiction to me.
It's probably heavily dramatized, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't want to know how much money these people actually made.
It's billions.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Billions.
Oh, again, you better lawyer up, asshole, because I'm not coming back for 34%. I'm coming back for everything.
That didn't so work good. Out. That didn't work I out for
quote,
him.
I could quote this. Five. He got like $64 million, I think, from that settlement.
But oh, my gosh.
Guys, I could quote this whole movie.
I will say, his character, when that part of the movie happens,
mm-hmm.
your heart kind of drops a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good turn. He changes, yeah. like, he's been putting up with so much for so long, yeah. and he's truly just been trying to support his friend, and then he just gets screwed over.
And
he's
Brenda
the one
Song.
I do feel bad for.
Yeah.
Oh, and Brenda Song lights yeah. a scarf on fire.
In his apartment.
In his apartment.
Turns the trash can over on his bed.
That scene is so cool. Like, visually.
Yeah, she turns crazy after...
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing which we don't have to get into, but a lot of the like think pieces written about The Social Network are about how it's not very feminist and how all of the women in it are just like, just, you know, relationships with the main men who are like geniuses creating all of this stuff and how they're all just like, you know, having sex with them in the bathrooms and then going crazy and then all of that stuff, which is pretty valid. Yeah. And I'm a person who loves this movie. So, but it is a valid point that, like, all of the women in this movie are kind of, besides Rashida Jones, which you know, she doesn't really do anything, but she's a lawyer. The most of the, like, female characters in this movie are just sex objects or, like, there for the affections of the men in the movie, like Erica or...
At the parties.
Dakota Johnson.
I didn't even realize that until you pointed that out. Now I'm thinking back to the movie. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. There's
I'm trying
no,
to think of.
Maybe the lawyers, like the female lawyers are like the.
Yeah, but the I don't think we know enough about them to consider them actual characters. You know what I mean? They're just. Yeah.
I think Rooney Mara's character is probably the most independent.
Right. But we only see her in relation to.
Mark Zuckerberg, yeah.
Yeah, and I love her character, and I think, and the argument people have, the sort of counter-argument is people are like, well, this is based on a true story, so there just weren't, you know, smart women at Harvard, but...
oh, gosh.
I'm kidding, that was a joke. That was me being sarcastic. Which just feels pretty, you know, like kind of a toothless argument. I think it's just that Aaron Sorkin's portrayal of women has been kind of well documented to not be ideal. And I think after The Social Network, he got a lot of criticism, which is why it's you know, improved slightly to be a more balanced, he's been a more balanced writer. But just something to think about, guys. I've written like 12 papers on The Social Network. I feel like I have my own master's degree
in The Social
Network. You mastered in The Social Network movie.
I have a master's in The Social Network. If you have any questions, please.
So you both are giving your point to Social Network?
Yes.
Social Network.
I'm the lone wolf.
You are.
Going against the crowd and giving my one point to Steve Jobs.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling the rest of these categories aren't going to be kind to it. But moving right along into music, what do we think about the music in these two movies?
I feel like There isn't even a comparison. The Social Network score is like one of the best modern scores. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross won the Oscar for it. I listen to it sometimes. It's, I think the soundtrack for, or the score, I guess, for Steve Jobs is kind of just classical, especially because he's in like these huge auditoriums or whatever. And I think that gets a little boring, where the Social Network score is more electric and weird and ethereal and cool. And I wrote a paper about the score working as internal monologues for all the characters for like a final once. I'm obsessed with this score. No contest.
I can play some devil's advocate though with Steve Jobs. I call it 80s tech pump up music is what they would play before his, like when he was going out on stage or like the build up. And I feel like it was lower and it kept getting louder and louder. And then he would find someone to argue with 2 seconds before he goes on stage. And then there's like a full blown argument and the music's super loud. And I was into it, but I do like the Social Network score better.
It's so good.
And there was a lot of classical in Steve Jobs. Like, if it wasn't the 80s tech pump-up music, it was classical, which is fine.
I agree with Rudy. I like the music in Steve Jobs. I think a lot of it is good. There's key moments in there. His fight with Jeff Daniels' character, I think during the second launch, you got kind of get that really tense music. And then there's another one, I think it's at the very end, but then they also play it somewhere else in the, I think it's also during the second launch when Kate Winslet finds out from Steve Jobs that their product is not actually a product and that it's going to fail horribly. Yeah. The music during that scene is awesome. Like, again, I think it's that 80s pump up music that Rudy was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to put 1,000 songs in your pocket. Yeah. The worst ending.
What is that brick you got? You got a brick in your pocket.
it's such a funny, it's like if your grandparents wrote something about technology, they're like, you got 1,000 songs in your pocket. It's so funny.
So I do really like the Steve Jobs score. Mm-hmm. But I also agree, I think Social Network is better. I think the music, kind of like Coco said, I don't know if you necessarily said this, but this is how I interpreted it. It's kind of a character on its own, and it kind of helps set the mood of the scene and what the characters are going through. And you can listen to the music by itself and still feel, get that kind of emotional connection with the movie and what the characters were going through during that moment, because the music so well encapsulates, I think is a word, what is going on, how everyone's feeling, and what's happening on screen.
Well, it's like when we first see Mark and the, like, after he breaks, or Erica breaks up with him, and he's walking through the quad, and the music is just like it's the dun, 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 mm-hmm. and it's like these note, like single notes, and it's kind of like, well, he's such an isolated and lonely person. This music is very, like,
but then you also have, along with that, you also have, I don't know if it's like violins, like slowly going back and forth, whatever makes that like,
yeah,
like static, almost like static.
I think it probably is well. Static.
Is it just static?
Yeah. And then they have that really heavy bass of like, some, you know, stuff's going to go down. And then usually when the Winklevi are on screen,
Winklevi,
like a lot of the times it has very like classical music elements. And when they're doing that row crew at Oxford or whatever, they're playing Peer Gynt because they are Harvard gentlemen, as they refer to themselves.
I think we all agreed.
All in agreement on music. Network. Social Network takes Nine Inch Nails, nails it. On the
on I just the found out that guy that what, is it Trent Reznor, the Nine Inch Nails guy. Mm-hmm. He's from like where I'm from in Pennsylvania.
Oh, is he?
He's from like my county. Yeah, he's from like a neighboring town. Isn't that crazy? I was driving through with my cousin, and he was like, "Trent Reznor's from here," and I was like, "Really? From the Social Network soundtrack?" And he said, "No, from Nine Inch Nails."
No, no,
yeah, no. From Well, surprisingly, he's been doing a lot more soundtracks. The most recent being Soul, the Disney Pixar movie.
Yeah, he does. He's great. I love.
Which is wild to me.
Yeah,
going from Nine Inch Nails
to Pixar
to Soul.
To Soul.
Which the music's pretty good in that movie. I do like the music.
It didn't. Yeah, I get, it was all jazz.
All right, so you guys are 3-0 for Social Network right now. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who has a single point to Steve Jobs going into our fourth category, technical aspects. So this, we just lump everything else with the movie together. We're like, ah, choreography, editing, lighting, cinematography.
Choreography.
Like if there's like dancing.
Oh, I love that dance sequence in Steve Jobs.
I know, right?
Love
Steve
that
Wozniak
career.
Came out. And
they waltzed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like The Social Network. It seems, I don't know if you guys agree, but it seems a little darker than Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the lighting.
Very.
But it adds. It's like, it's not a very uplifting film anyway. Like, a lot of things that happen in that movie are pretty dark. So I think the lighting goes along with it. Steve Jobs is very bright and flashy, and it goes along with that dialogue, which is quick and flashy.
Was Steve Jobs done on film, or did they use a filter for the first?
That's a great question.
It definitely has a film filter, at least. I don't think it was shot on film because it seemed like too much almost. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was cool. I thought that was a cool aspect that they did. Still rooting for The Social Network. And I think the editing of The Social Network's great. A lot of the cross-cutting between different scenes, Mark blogging and making face mash while the finals clubs are happening is really cool. I think it's edited very musically, which goes along with that great score. And I think I really like the way Fincher directs, those really precise small movements that follow the actors that take 100 takes apparently. But I think it works. I think the movie looks beautiful.
I agree with both of the things that you guys said with the lighting and Social Network. It's really interesting because I think that's kind of a David Fincher trademark almost.
Yeah, dark.
Dark, because some of his other movies like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Gone Girl that came out afterwards kind of have that same look to it.
And almost monotone.
Yeah.
The first scene feels yellow and then it kind of gets a little blue, and then all the lawyer scenes seem pretty beige.
Mm-hmm. But even his earlier films, Seven, The Game, and Fight Club, all kind of had that same lighting as well. So I think it's kind of a David Fincher trademark, but he uses it well because it always works in the type of movies he does. And then with the editing, I think this may be the best editing that I've seen in a movie. Or the most noticeable. Yeah, The Social Network. The most noticeable editing that's done well in a movie. I'm sure there's other movies that are edited perfectly. 1917, Birdman, those one-shot edit movies are always great. But just to be able to flashback between what's going on during the creation, this lawsuit. I mean, they jump all around between those, and it is seamless.
And to cut during the dialogue, it'll be a line of, they'll cut in the middle of a sentence back to the lawsuit.
And there's never a moment in that movie where you're like, whoa, what is going on? Or this is just kind of jumping around too much. Because sometimes there's editing where it's jumping too much, where you're like, oh my gosh, it's like, I'm going to break my neck trying to see what's going on. But they insert it in the right places. They do it a lot, but not overkill. And every time they do it, it works with the movie. I don't think there's a single point in that film where I'm like, oh, that's weird how they flash back to that point at this time, or how they went off into the segment. I think each individual piece fits together in this puzzle, and it's definitely a puzzle because it moves all around. It's not a linear movie.
Yeah, they don't give you too much info.
Mm-mm.
In the when they jump to the lawsuit scenes, they don't give you too much that it ruins what's happening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at Harvard. So yeah, it fits perfect.
And you're also kind of picking up the pieces of those lawsuits too, because they throw you right into the middle of it, they don't throw you into like the start of a lawsuit where they're like, okay, this person is suing you for this. You're right there, so you're trying to figure out what's going on. You're sort of catching on to what's happening, but in those little pieces as the movie goes along, I think they're placed within the movie very strategically to help move that story forward.
Right.
So, technical, all agree on Social Network?
Of course.
Seems to be a trend.
Wow, you guys, Social Network's undefeated for you guys. Moving into our final category, I think I already know what you guys are going to pick at this point. I would hope. But final category of overall enjoyment, which movie did you enjoy watching more? Coco, tell us how you enjoyed watching Steve Jobs more than Social Network.
Wouldn't it be funny if I picked Steve Jobs? No. definitely the Social Network. I think, honestly, it sounds like I hated Steve Jobs. I didn't. I really liked that movie. But the whole time I was watching it, I was like, man, I wish I was just watching The Social Network, because there's so much of it that's so similar. And I just think, like, if you had to pick one, watch The Social Network. It's a better time, and I think it's done better. And honestly, I have probably seen The Social Network 50 times, maybe more. Wow. And
well, you did master in it, so.
I did master in it. I almost didn't watch it today. I was like, I know what happens. I could act it out if I wanted to. I did watch it because I'm a professional. But I've seen it so many times. Each time I enjoy it, I think there's a lot of really emotional stuff that works really well. There's a lot of funny stuff that works really well. And I love how at the end, it's, you know, it ties it back to Erica and him friending her on Facebook. I think it has a lot of heart that Steve Jobs is trying to have, but doesn't necessarily work for me. And I think underlying like theme of the movie in The Social Network is so much subtle, like more subtle. Mm-hmm. Because of that is more satisfying, because I think Steve Jobs is just like, he has a daughter that he's ignoring, and then at the end he's like, he's a father. It's like, well, yeah. We knew that was gonna happen immediately, like, right. There was no like subtext, and so Social Network for life, bro.
I agree, Social Network for sure.
Hell yeah.
But like we all like, I feel like we say this in every episode, Hogan and I. It's like, if you have time, watch Steve Jobs. But yeah. If you only have time for one movie, put The Social Network on and invite everyone over. Not during a pandemic, but get that watch party going.
Virtual.
And put this virtual watch party and watch agree. Social Network.
It's on Netflix now, so you can do a Netflix watch party.
They're both on Netflix.
That was huge, guys. That was a huge deal.
I did watch Steve Jobs on my Mac, so he would be pretty proud, but I cannot watch Netflix on a second monitor. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a Mac or a Netflix issue, but I have to watch it. Like, if I have a second monitor connected to my Mac, it does not move over the screen.
It's closed.
I don't know.
End.
It's the compatibility. So, yeah.
End control. The whole, not compatible with anything.
I won't get started on Apple in there. Basis of their company, because wowee,
wild.
That's another reason why Social Network's better.
I really enjoy Steve Jobs. I think it is a underrated movie. I don't think a lot of people have seen it, and that's a shame because it is really good. But it's Social Network. There's no question here. As much as I love Steve Jobs,
Steve Jobs wishes it was a Social Network.
Yeah, and I think it tries hard to be the Social Network. But it's just not. You don't have those. The story doesn't work as well. You don't have those connections. The acting's great, obviously. I think it is because I gave it my point. But really, every other aspect of The Social Network just works well. There's nothing in The Social Network that I can say is bad. There's nothing that I don't like about it. I think everything is done not only well, but I think exceptionally well. And this may be a bold statement, but of all the movies that I watch, and I always get questions on, you know, what's the greatest movie you've ever watched? I think it might be Social Network.
You texted me this recently, and I was delighted to receive this text.
So it's not my favorite movie, but
yeah,
in terms of the greatest movie that I've ever watched, I'm taking into account kind of all the different aspects that we talk about on this podcast. I'm taking into account the writing, the characters, the acting, the music, the editing, the lighting, the cinematography, just everything about the movie, how everything works together, and it really does everything well. Like, there's nothing where it's like, oh, everything is so good about this movie, but the music is meh, you know? Or the lighting was kind of weird. Yeah. It doesn't have anything like that. No category that I can think of in The Social Network was I like, oh, that was subpar. Like, everything is done well. So taking that into account when thinking of the greatest movie, I can't think of another movie where everything was done as well as The Social Network. There's other movies that do things a whole lot better than The Social Network, for sure. But in terms of everything, I don't know if I've seen another movie that has gotten it right on every aspect of the film like Social Network has. Sure. So that's my two cents.
Well, I especially think like a modern movie. Like, it's so, I remember this came out when it came out in like 2009, because everyone was like, maybe it did come out in 2010, because now I'm confusing myself, but I'm pretty sure it was December 2009. but everyone was talking about when they come out with like the best movies of the decade. Because this was like when I was in film school, they were waiting for, you know, it to be 2020 for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And they were like, Social Network's going to be number one. And I think it is on the AFI list now. But yeah, especially I think of like movies that have come out in the 2000s. I can't think of one better.
Yeah. And surprisingly, on IMDb, it is not on the top 250 list because it's got too low of a score.
Yeah.
In, like, the sevens.
What?
That's because people are dumb.
Are people blind?
Yeah, I don't know how
it's deaf. It's IMDb users.
Avengers Endgame is top 250.
Exactly.
But not The Social Network.
Exactly.
I think something's wrong there.
It's IMDb users.
That's why I don't.
So IMDb, you got to update your top 250, and you got to update your year.
This has been an IMDb trash fest.
Roast.
I'm sorry. I love you guys. Don't be mad. I actually use you guys a lot. Courtney from Film School, where can people listen to your podcast?
I'm pretty sure anywhere podcasts are found at Film School. And you can follow us at Film School FM on Instagram and Twitter.
And where can people reach out to you if they need to write a paper on The Social Network and can use you as a reference?
I'm at Cordell Hall, H-U-L-L, everywhere, whatever website you're on.
And you have a co-host with Film School, good old Tyler Robertson. We'll have to get him over here and get his opinions on some films as well.
Well, you asked if we wanted to come on together, and I said no, because we have to do The Social Network on our podcast so the two of us can't talk about it together. Because Tyler told me we have to wait. He won't let me. I pick the movies. He won't let me pick The Social Network because he knows I love it too much. So we're waiting, I probably, till the 100th episode.
The 100th episode. Oh, boy. And you guys only do every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, we're biweekly. We're busy.
So that's going to be like year, what, four? That The Social Network will come into play?
We'll never get there. The last episode will be The Social Network.
The finale, the farewell.
The finale. Finally a movie I like.